Good morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Hey. We're back on Daf Kuf Nun Dalid, and we're right in the middle of the Amud Beis. Okay, well, yesterday we had a discussion about the Isser of Mechamen and Shabbos, that one is not allowed to lead a donkey or any animal. Now you have my mind just on donkeys. The word Mechamer actually comes from the word Chamor, so it's not a terrible translation, but it's imprecise. You're not allowed on Shabbos to lead an animal while it's laden with something, as I already explained back to Daf Nun and Aleph in Masechet Shabbos. So Tosfos points out that there's a general Isser of Shvisas Bamto, that your animal can't work on Shabbos, but there's a specific Isser on Shabbos, which is that you're not allowed to direct an animal while it has a burden on it. And if you do so, you're violating Shabbos, you're Mechalel Shabbos. The exact punishment for that, so that's up for debate, and that was yesterday's Daf. The Gemara yesterday debated, disputed exactly what the Isser would be. Whether, according to Rami Bar Chama, it's an Isser Skila with a Karban Chatas. According to a second version, it's a chi of skila, but there is no chatas if you do it b'shogeg. And finally, the position of Rav Yochanan, which seems to be the accepted position, which is that technically you're mechal Shabbos, but there's no punishment. There's no skila, there's no chatas, and there's not even malchus. Malchus because it's a lav shenitan lazarus mitzvahs beizdin. Okay, technical. But still, no, there's not going to be any punishment. The Gemara then went on yesterday to discuss how exactly, when you get to the Chatzar Chitzona, how do you unload the animal? So any of the non-mux items, you just simply pick off the animal and you put it down on the ground. What about the mux items? So yesterday we had a discussion about untying the animal. What about fragile items that are going to break when they hit the floor? So put pillows down. What about Mevato Klimehe Chano? You're immobilizing the pillows. Okay, so that was a discussion also yesterday as well. And then we ended off yesterday, not with joy, but with sadness. We spoke about the donkey of Raman Gamliel. Raman Gamliel's donkey came back on Shabbos and he didn't want to untie it. And the Gemara gave a number of explanations of why he didn't want to untie it, but the animal was laden over the course of the entirety of Shabbos, and the animal died immediately after Shabbos. The Gemara asked the question, what about Tzar Balei Chaim? So the Gemara says, for Raman Gamliel, Tzar Balei Chaim is an Isser Derabana, not an Isser D'Araisa. And, so for his cheshbon was very simple. It's one Derabanan versus another Derabanan. I forgot who said it yesterday, but someone said it very well. It's just a question of which Derabanan came first, and that's how he viewed it. And like we spoke about a number of times, not all Derabanans are the same, but Rami Gamliel felt that the Derabanan of Muktza is more, it should be taken as seriously or more seriously than the Derabanan of Tzar Balei Chaim. Okay, that was our conclusion of yesterday, and we continue today. Abaye Ashkechele L'Rabba D'Kamashav Sheshle L'Brei. Abaye finds Rabba, and Rabba's playing with his son. Which, okay, good. Now, yeah, yesterday we ended sad. Today we start heartwarming. So Rabba's playing with his son, and Mishav Sheshle L'Brei Agav D'Chamra. Okay, now we can talk donkeys. Okay, so what he did is he basically used the donkey as a slide. Okay, in other words, right, playground. And back in the good old days, what the playground was a donkey. And you put the kid on the side of the donkey and let the kid slide off the donkey. Okay, sounds like fun, sounds like we're having a great time. The problem is, of course, that it's on Shabbos. And so now what you're doing is, you're being mishtamish bebehema b'Shabbos. You're using an animal on Shabbos. Right, walk your dog, of course, you walk your dog. But to pet your dog, these are things that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So here, Abaye finds Rava actually using an animal, sliding his kid off the side of an animal on Shabbos. Amar Leika Mishamish Mar Bebalei Chayim. So Abaye asks the obvious question, isn't that rabbinically forbidden? It's awesome that the rabbi wanted to do so. Now, by the way, why? Why did the rabbis prohibit riding on an animal? So I'm sure everyone here knows. Rashi over here points out, the Chachamim were worried about the Malacha of Kotzer, that you're going to be riding on the horse. I know we're not talking about a horse right now, but classically, this is how it's presented. You're riding on top of a horse, and the horse is not moving, or not moving as fast as you'd like, so what you're tempted to do is rip off a branch off a tree, and you're going to then want to use it to whip the horse. So, this is the gzeira of the Malach of Kotzer. So out of concern of that, so therefore the Chachamim said that you are not allowed to ride animals on Shabbos, and not just horses, but all animals. So you're not allowed to be Mishamish Balei Chaim on Shabbos. This is an Isser D'Rabbanan. So It's a very simple question. Abaye says to Rabbah, what are you doing? How can you be sliding your kid off the back of an animal on Shabbos? Very straightforward question. Amar Leitz Dadin. So he says, I'm not using the top of the animal, I'm using the side of the animal, and now we're going to make a distinction between top versus side. Okay, in other words, I understand the animal is a round shape, but the basic idea is that anything that operates on a horizontal plane of the animal, that's aser. That you can't use. Because as I explained just a moment ago, the whole issur d'rabbanan was for riding on top of the horse. So anything that is horizontal in plane is going to be aser, but anything which is more vertical is going to be mutter. This is what's called staden. The side of the animal, and what Rabbah is explaining to his Talmud, Abaye is... side is fine. Studim would be fine. V'tstudim lo gazru b'hu rabbanim anat tamer d'nan. And he says, and I'm going to demonstrate to you that there's no gzera on studim. Matir chavalim v'asakin noflim, because look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that talks about the untying of the saddle on Shabbos. Now, it was a question of how to break the foal. But it was clear in the Mishnah that you're allowed to untie. Untying is not a problem. It's just the breaking of the foal. Now, how do you untie the saddle? So, I'm not the person to ask because I've untied zero saddles over the course of my life. Zero. But apparently, in order to untie a saddle, you have to be leaning on the animal, on the side of the animal. So, basically, the assumption of the Mishnah is that you're applying your weight to the side of the animal and the Mishnah is fine with it. So, it must be that studin would be fine. So, my love, bechaver gevalki, dahavalut studin. So, the Gemara is describing this, the common saddlebag, where in order to untie, you have to basically lean on the side of the animal, and yet the Mishnah is telling us that that's fine. Look, it's a clear raya that studin is fine. V'tstudin lo gazru b'hu rabbanan. So the Gemara's response is not necessarily lo b'chaver agavaki d'lo havitstudin. So the Gemara says that it could be that it's not the classic saddlebag, but it could be that just with a simple unlocking of the saddlebag, I'm not really sure what we're describing, but I do understand the point of the Gemara. You don't have to lean on the side of the animal. In other words, maybe just a belt buckle or whatever was comparable back then. Just click and it undoes. But you don't have to actually lean against the animal. Einami, belechta. Or the Gemara says that it's held together by some sort of clasp. Again, same basic idea. That you don't have to lean on the animal in order to undo the bags. It could just simply be undone very easily. Okay. Good. So now basically what we're going to get involved in from here until the next Mishnah, okay, which is on the middle of the next Amud, is basically the following. We are now in the middle of a discussion of when the rabbis make a gzerah, so is there going to be differences in the item? Meaning, on an animal, what Rabbah wanted to argue, not just argue, I mean, he felt it was okay, is that the top of the animal, that's where the gzera lies. But the sides of the animal, there's no such gzera. Okay, so this is what's called staden. We're going to move the discussion now to another gzera d'rabbanan, but basically, same basic discussion. Now, you know on Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb a tree. Okay? You're not allowed to climb a tree, you're not allowed to lean against a tree, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. And the fear here is very simple, very similar to the animal. The fear is that if you climb a tree, you're going to end up breaking off one of the branches. So it's gzera d'rabbanan, and you cannot climb a tree. Okay, we'll talk later on this morning. Even, let's say, leaning a ladder against a tree and climbing up the ladder is going to be prohibited on Shabbos, because that's, again, being mishtamish b'ilan, that's using a tree, you cannot do that on Shabbos. So what we're about to engage in a discussion is there going to be a difference in terms of the tree and the tzdadin in the sides of the tree? Now, this is a little bit trickier than the animal. The animal, I can easily visualize the top of the animal versus the side of the animal. The tree is just going to be a little bit trickier to make a differentiation between the tree and the side of the tree, because whenever you're climbing a tree, you're climbing up the side of the tree. You're not...
You mean the trunk?
Not the tree itself. So I will, over the course of this discussion, try to give us a better understanding of what this means, tree versus side.
By the side of the tree, you mean the trunk of the tree or branch that's coming off on top?
Right, correct. So I'll touch on it, meaning I'll try to give some sort of better understanding of what it means, but just conceptually, that's basically what we're going to do. We're going to try to make a distinction between tree versus side of the tree. Okay, and we do so by looking at a Mishnah in Sukkah. So we are in the Gemara, we're about 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. and Eitzvei. So more challenges. Again, this is a now discussion between Abai and Rabbah regarding whether there's such a distinction between top versus sides. Let's say I have a tree, a sukkah, and we know that the sukkah needs three walls. Okay, third wall could be, doesn't have to be a bona fide wall, but that's when we get to Masechta Sukkah. We'll talk about that in detail. In the meantime, however, I have three walls. One of the walls is being supported by a tree. So in other words, it's almost like a treehouse. The sukkah is like a treehouse. And it's a valid sukkah, meaning it's got three walls. Here's a problem.
When you say supported, means that the wall is leaning on it?
Wait, just wait. Give me a moment, because the Gemara itself is going to is not going to have clarity on that issue. So it's a good sukkah, meaning there are three walls. The problem is that I can't ascend on such a sukkah on Yontov, because going, now by the way, ascension, meaning we're going up to the sukkah. In the good old days, they built their sukkahs on the second floor, on the rooftop. So that's why you're always going to see when they talk about sukkah, the word olin, right? You go up to the sukkah. You could also say a nice vort about how when you're going to the sukkah, you're being spiritually uplifted. Okay, that's nice. That would make for an excellent schmooze. I'll even suggest that to the rabbi. But in the meantime, however, we're just interested in the daf. So the point being is that you can't go on such a sukkah on Yonta, because that means that you're going to be mishtamish bila and you're going to be using a tree. Now, how exactly are you using a tree by going on the sukkah? So if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi over here gives an interesting explanation. Rashi, shtayim bi'da'ad, nevachas bi'ilan. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi is about 8-9 lines down after the lines get wide. Gabi sukkah tanan shikshera b'gimel defanos. V'imasa shtayim ke'uchasan v'shlishi asa bi'ilan kshera. Defanos lo ichpatlan im echubarosheim v'hua dinim kula nikvos bi'ilan. Now, look, when it comes to walls of the sukkah, when we get to Masech the sukkah, you're going to hear more of this. It doesn't matter what it's made out of, meaning there is no guidelines in terms of what the walls need to be made out of. The walls can be made out of trees that are planted in the ground. It's fine. Walls are can be attached, detached, doesn't matter. Okay, and over here we're just talking about one wall being attached to the ground, one wall being a tree, just simply as a chiddush, meaning even though it's only one wall, it's still going to be an issue. Now, next part of Rashi, interesting. What's the problem? Why can't I go into such a sukkah on Yontif? Mipnesha sachacha kasher bedafneha v'nishan aleha v'hu mishtamesh al schacha v'nosen kela v'nitza mishtamesh bi'ilan. So it used to be the minhag back then. It's hard for us to imagine. I mean, my schach is 8 feet off the ground, and you know I'm vertically challenged to begin with. So it's hard to imagine. But Rashi describes back in the good old days, apparently they had very low schach. What they used to do is all their kalim, they used to just put right on top of the schach to hold it there for storage. And then what they would do is they would come and they would take it off the schach. That was the minhag. And so what Rashi points out now is that if I have a schach supported by, right, two walls, meaning two detached walls, and one tree, so now that means that the schach is actually being supported by a tree. Now you can't climb the tree or use the tree, so now the assumption, of course, is neither can you use the schach as well. Okay.
Isn't schach have to be detached? The branches of the tree.
Yes, the schach has to be detached, but right now the schach, in order for the schach to be hanging, it's actually being supported by
the tree. Which
means the tree is underneath the schach, if it's important. We can make some sort of supporting beam on the tree, in order to hold the schach up. Okay. Either way, Rashi says, now we understand what the problem is. The problem is, if the schach is being held up by the tree, I cannot use the schach now on Yontif, because by using the schach, by extension, that means I'm using the tree. Being mishtamish bi'ilan is aser. And now we also understand why the Gemara is bringing this whole discussion up right now. Because am I using the actual tree itself? No. Tzadin. We're using the side of the tree. Meaning it's schach attached to some supporting beam attached to the tree. So this is studin, and yet the Mishnah in Sukkah tells us I can't go on a Sukkah on Yontif for fear that I may end up using the sides. So, the schach, which is really the side of the tree.
So this would apply even though you're on the ground.
Yes, yes. Rashi actually says that even though you're on the ground, but because people use their schach with regularity, so therefore the rabbis made a gzera. Okay? So, I mean, again, you're not moving the schach. Muksa is only a prohibition of moving something. Okay? You want to rest something down on a car on Shabbos, that's fine. Muksa is only an issue of moving. So, Eisei, Shtayim b'dayadam v'achas b'ilan k'sher v'nolun la b'yamtov. So, my love, the chak b'ilan, the havel utzdadin asurin. So, good. Now the Gemara formulates the question. It's an extraordinarily good question. It sounds like not only is the tree asur on yamtov, but so is the side of the tree as well. So the Gemara says, "Lo dekafir le'ilam va'anach sichuch ilavei." So the Gemara says, "You got to change the image in our mind, meaning we assume that the schach was attached to the side of the tree." The Gemara says, "No, the tree was actually bent over, and the schach is now laying on the tree, which is bent over." And now we get a slightly better understanding of what it means when we're talking about side of the tree versus top of the tree. So when I bend over the tree now, and the schach is resting on the actual tree itself, that's not studden anymore. That's gufa ilan.
Can the schach be kosher then?
I guess you're going to have more schach. It's a good question, but I'm assuming you're going to have more schach than tree. Okay, so all right.
In this case, the tree doesn't.
You don't have to love that answer, but
in this case, the tree doesn't move, but an animal moves.
Well, again, we're just. That's not, you're right, but we're not comparing tree to animal. We're right now conceptualizing top versus sides. That's what we're doing. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, okay, let's move ahead. Next part of the Mishnah in Sukkah. So now let's talk about the following Sukkah. Three detached walls. The fourth wall is made up of the tree. The Idikafyala. Now, if we have the same visual where they have, even though the fourth wall is only a fourth wall, I mean I don't even need it. But still, I bent it over, I'm leaning the schach on the fourth wall, shouldn't we be back at the same exact problem? Amai Olan Labi Yomtov. Why would it be allowed to go on such a Sukkah Yomtov? So Ve'alamites Dadin Asurin. So the Gemara says, okay, we're gonna have to go back to our first visual, which is that it's the schach is resting on the side of the tree, and what's going to be our conclusion? That studden is going to be aser. So, am I olin la biyamtov? The Gemara says, okay. So, but how is three different than four? Meaning, if studden is aser, so what difference does it make whether the schach is being supported by the third wall, which is a tree, or the fourth wall, which is a tree? In both cases, it would be studden. Studden would be aser. Ela hasam bigavza parsachna. The ilan gufe dofen ba'amahu deshavya. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to have to change our visual of what's going on over here. In the case where the tree served as the fourth wall, it means, and here in Florida, we could easily see this, right? We have trees that actually make up walls, right? And many of our properties we have, instead of branches, instead of fences, we have, I don't know what the trees are actually called, but it's not ficus, but whatever it's called. In other words, the tree itself actually serves as a wall. So the Mishnah and Sukkah, which is describing the tree serving as the fourth wall, it means not that we're actually attaching the Sukkah to that tree, it means that the tree is actually forming the fourth wall of the Sukkah. The Schach is not resting on the tree, the Schach is resting actually on the three walls. In fact, the Gemara goes on to say, if you read on in the Mishnah over there in Sukkah, you'll see that that's in fact exactly the pshat. So if you remove the tree, I mean you can't, it's yantav, but if you remove the tree, and the schach would stand right in its place, so that means that's okay. Why? Because the visual is that the schach is not resting on this fourth wall / tree. Schach is resting on the three walls. It just happens to be that the construction of the sukkah is such where the fourth wall is at an actual tree. Shma mina. Okay. So therefore, where are we at right now? We don't know. Meaning, we're trying to establish whether or not zdadin is usr. Meaning that we know that you're not allowed to go on an animal on Shabbos. We know that you're not allowed to go on a tree on Shabbos. What about sides? Sides of an animal, sides of a tree. The whole discussion started because Rabba was playing with his child and sliding the child off the side of the animal. He felt that the rabbinic zera of going on an animal is only for the top of the animal, not the sides of the animal. And the Gemara now is conversely here talking about a tree, whether or not there is a iser to use the side of a tree. And right now, we quote the Mishnah in Sukkah, may or may not speak to this idea. Lema Kitanai. The Gemara wants to now suggest that perhaps it's a machlokas tanayim. Ain ol nabi yamtov. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar amar misham Rabbi Meir ol nabi yamtov. So we have a very ambiguous brisa that we know. Here's what we know. There's a debate. Tanakama says that you can't go on. You can't use such a sukkah. And Rabbi Meir says you can use such a sukkah on yamtov. And we don't know much, but we do know there's a debate. So now the Gemara says, perhaps the machlokas is as follows. My love, beha kamiflagi, the marsavit stadin asurun, and marsavit mutarin. That this is exactly the issue where the schach is resting on the side of the tree. And the question is whether or not the rabbinic zera of ola be'ilan applies to the side of the tree. Whereas the Tanakhama says it's asur, and Rab Meir says it would be mutar. Amar Abaye lo dekole amat stadin asurin. So Rab Meir says no. Sorry. Abaye says no. Now, of course, Abaye says no, by the way, because he was the one earlier who was holding that studden would be aser. Everyone says that studden is aser. And what's the issue over here? V'hacha, b'tzidei tzedudden kamiflagi. What if I'm not using the side of the tree, but I'm using something that is next to the tree? So in other words, we're going to introduce ourselves to a new term, tzidei tzedudden. Right? No good translation. Second side of the tree. Not a good translation, terrible translation. But basically, I'm not on the side of the tree. I'm not using the side of the tree. It's connected to something which is connected to the tree. Okay? A derivative, if you will. So, tzidei tzedudin. Mar savet tzidei tzedudin asur, mar savet tzidei tzedudin mutarin. Okay. If I didn't explain that well, so first of all, that's shame on me. Secondly, the Gemara, in just a couple of lines from now, will give a better description of what tzidei tzedudin is. So, just wait one moment. Rav Amar Manda Aser Bitzadin Aser Nami Bitzidit Stadin Manda Shar Bitzidit Stadin Shar Nami Bitzadin. And Rav does not believe in making any distinction. If I can use the side of the tree, I can use something which is connected to the side of the tree. And if I can't use the side of the tree, I can't use something which is connected to the side of the tree. Rav feels that there's no distinction between Stadin and Tzidit Stadin. So, Eisve Rav Misharsha la Rava. So, Rav Misharsha asked the following question to Rava. Now, I don't want to get too involved in this because we're going to get into Erevin. But let's just go over the basics, okay, so that you understand what is about to happen. Okay, we're talking now about making an Erevin, specifically Erev Tchum. Erev Tchum, the way I do it is that I want to go beyond my 2,000 amos on Shabbos, so what do? I change my Makom Shvisa. I change my center. How do I change my point of center? So like any Jewish problem, the Jewish solution is going to be food. Food is the ultimate Jewish solution. So what I do now is instead of now having this being my center, before Shabbos, what I do is I move to wherever I can get to, meaning obviously I can only make my tchum within 2,000 amos of where I currently am. I'm going to make for myself a little meal, and that will now become my new makom shvisa. And there's only one... There's only one caveat, and it's a very simple caveat, and that is that during the Bein HaShemashos period, when this will be affected, when this will be actualized, I have to be able to access it. It's very simple. So that means that Friday afternoon, as the sun sets, and we go through the Bein HaShemashos period, I have to be able to access my Tchum Shabbos, my new Makom Shvisa, which means that first of all, it has to be within 2,000 amos, clearly. But it also means that halachically, remember, I'm acquiring it during the Bein HaShemashos period, which means that it has to be not only physically within my reach, but also halachically within my reach, which means that it cannot be anywhere where I can't access it halachically. So for as a simple example, let's say I make my Makom Shvisa in the street, Rishus HaRabim, and I set up my Tchum in a private domain. So that's no good, because that means that during the Bein HaShemashos period, I would be transferring from a Rishos HaYachid to a Rishos HaRabim. So that's no good. So all this is by way of background, and now we're going to see together a Mishnah. Na'atz Yaseid Be'ilan. If I stick a a pole in a tree. Vitala bakilkala, and I hung a basket on the pole. Let me give a better word. A peg. Right? Rashi says, Nagar, some sort of stake or a peg. I stick a peg in a tree, and I hang a basket on the peg. And lamala me'asar tvachem ein eruvo eruv, lamata miyutvachem eruvo eruv. And the Mishnah over here says, look, if the basket is hanging above 10 tvachem, that's going to be a very serious problem. If the basket is hanging below 10 tvachem, that's fine. Why? So Rashi explains, because the basket's hanging above 10 tvachem, so the baskets in the good old days were at least minimally 4x4. Okay. So now what do I have? I have a structure that's 4x4 resting above 10 tvachim off the ground. You know what we call that in halacha? We call that a reshus hayachid. And now the problem is as follows. Here I am now walking right alongside this tree, which we're going to assume is a reshus harabim. And now what I'm going to be doing in order to access my eruv is transferring from the basket, which is a reshus hayachid, to the street, which is a reshus harabim. That's a no-no. And so therefore the Eruv doesn't work because I can't access my Eruv during the Bein HaShemashos period. Okay. If the Eruv is below 10 Tfachim, if the basket is below 10 Tfachim, that's not a Reshus HaYachid. Now we'll give it another name. We'll call it a Carmelis, although calling it a Carmelis is going to be a problem in of itself. I'll come back to that in just a second. But let's call it a Carmelis. And now, I'm not violating Shabbos, because all I'm doing is just simply transferring from the basket to the Reshus HaRabim, and that's fine. So says the Mishnah in Erevin. Okay? Now, where's the basket? Hanging off of a peg that's connected to the tree. Okay? And so now, what do we call this? You want to call this studin? Let's go even one step further. Let's call it Stidate Stadin. Because in other words, the peg is connected to the tree. So the peg we can call Stadin. And if the basket's hanging off the peg, that's even better. That's Stidate Stadin. And Halo not feel lamata miutfachim in uruva eru. Vaha haitanda de kaasar bit stadin vikashari bit stidate stadin. And over here, why is it allowed? Because the basket is connected to a peg which is connected to a tree, otherwise known as stidate stadin. Had the basket been hanging off the side of the tree itself, it would be forbidden. So you see, I have now a Tana who makes it clear distinction between studin and stidate studin. Amra papa hacha bekilkala dechukas kinan debahada deshakala leerev kamanid leilan vekamashmish beilan gufe. And the Gemara says not necessarily. Rapapa says perhaps the basket over here had it been attached to the tree would have been a secure attachment to the tree, which means that if I were to move the basket, by definition I'd be moving the tree. That's not studin anymore. If I'm moving the tree, that's called actually being mishtamish be'ilan gufe, and that's why it would be usur. So from this Mishnah, I don't necessarily see a distinction between stadin and stidate stadin. Let me just quickly wrap up the Gemara, and then I'm going to come back and discuss one point. The Hilchasa, the Gemara comes to a very clear conclusion. Stadin asurin, stidate stadin mutarin, that stadin would be usur. You cannot use the side of a tree. And I guess going all the way back to our animal scenario, you can't use the side of an animal as well. Meaning, I guess what the Gemara over here is saying is that Rabba is not lahalacha, sliding his son off the side of an animal. So, stadin would be usur. Stidate stadin would be mutter. And Amar Ravashi Hashad Amar Stadin Asurin. So high darga de madle lo linche inish adikle. So therefore, now that we've arrived at this halachic conclusion, so here's what you can't do. You can't lean your ladder against the side of a tree and climb the ladder. Now, here we're not even talking about accessing the tree. Meaning, let's say you just need to get to a higher area, a higher elevation. And right now, right outside our building, we have a tree right by the side of the building. So instead of leaning the ladder against the building, I lean against the tree. You can't do that. That's studin. That's using the side of a tree. To have a little studin, ela linche agavze labar midikle v'chisalak olin chikara agavze elalitne akanin. So what you should do, in other words, if you want to use the tree, is before Shabbos, put pegs into the tree. So now you have these pegs jutting out of the tree. Lean the ladder, not on the tree itself, on the pegs which are connected to the tree. The ladder now is not viewed as the dadin, but rather as sidates the dadin, side of the sides. And then you could use the ladder on a Shabbos or on a yontif.
Ultimately, you are using the tree. You're just going through it.
Good. Again, all this right. Using the tree itself is gzeira derabbanan. So what the Chachamim did is they basically limited their gzeira, meaning they basically taught us: look, climbing a tree, that's an issa derabbanan, right? Leaning on the side of the tree, that's also an issa derabbanan, and they just simply capped how far the issa derabbanan goes. Okay. That's what I pointed out. That it's based on our conclusion. Based on the Gemara's conclusion. Yeah. I mean, Rabbi can argue. I mean, he has the right to argue. But lamaisa la halacha. Correct. You want to make a hammock on Shabbos? Nowadays hammocks are kind of like self-standing structures. But if you want to make a hammock on Shabbos, so based on what we just learned, so to tie the hammock to the tree itself, so that's no good. But to if you put a stake into the tree and then you tie the hammock to the stake of the tree, so that would be fine. Although what we also just learned is that if the tree moves, so then that's going to be an issue, because then that's considered mishtamish begufe, that's using the tree itself. Okay. The Gemara's assumption is that he wasn't using the top; he was just using the side. That's the assumption. Okay. The one thing I want to discuss before we go on to the next Mishnah, and that is the following: we talked about that case in Erevin where the basket was above 10 tefachim versus the basket was below 10 tefachim. And what I did is I kind of glossed over. Well, if it's below 10 tefachim, then what is it? Okay. Now, if it's below 10 tefachim, so now let's focus on that for just a moment, because it really touches on a really important issue. If it's below 10 tefachim, what is it? So presumably it would be a karmelis. Now there is an issur derabbanan to transfer from a karmelis into a rishos harabim. So how did the Mishnah, it's a very simple question, how do we make a distinction where if the basket's above 10 tefachim, oh, that's a rishos yachid, and you're not allowed to transfer from rishos yachid to rishos harabim. But if the basket is below 10 tefachim, so now it's okay because it's only a karmelis. Only a karmelis, that's still prohibited. So how did that... So take a look at the top Tosfos on this Amud. I'm setting us up, meaning I this is a directed discussion. I know where we're going. So Lamata Miyutvachim Eruva Eruva Kasha. Tosfos says, this is difficult. Amai Eruvo Eruva HaKarmelusu. I don't understand. If the basket's below 10 tefachim, it's still a karmelis. And you can't transfer from a karmelis to a rishos harabim. So how is this all working? So asks Tosfos. It's a very strong question. Two times I remember, which only means that there's probably more than that, but two times I remember, Rashi says specifically that the gzera karmelis derabbanan is not on kalim. It's only on actual real estate that has certain proportions, certain properties, but there's no gzera derabbanan karmelis on kalim. So says Rashi, and that's one suggestion in terms of why it's not a problem. Okay, but then we get to Tosus' second suggestion, and this is where it's going to get interesting. Gabi Haisa Kupasa Munachas. Inami Kirebi. Damar Koldavishu Mishim Shvus Logazu Allah Benashmashas. Rebbe's of the opinion, we're going to hear this in Erevin. Rebbe's of the opinion that as I mentioned in the beginning of this whole Erevin discussion, what I need to do is I need to access my Erev during the Benashmashas period. Rebbe's of the opinion that during the Benashmashas period, it's Shabbos, it's not Shabbos, right? It's a limbo state. It's right. It's twilight, literally twilight. So we don't know if it is or it isn't Shabbos. There is no Isuri Durabanan that applied during Bein HaShmashos. Okay, that's the opinion of Rebbe. According to Rebbe, You want to ask a non-Jew to do something for you on Shabbos? Fine. Right? Amir Lachum is an Issa de Rabbanan. During the Ben Hashmashas period, you may do that. Okay? That's Rabbi's opinion. So, it could be that, look, when does the Erev, when do you konen Erev Tchom? During Ben Hashmashas. If the only thing that's restricting you from your Erev Tchom is only an Issa de Rabbanan, according to Rabbi, that's fine. Because there's no Shvus during the Ben Hashmashas period. So, it could be the basket is a Carmelis, but transferring from the Carmelis to the Rishus HaRabim is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, and during the Ben Hashmashas period, it would be fine. Okay, you hear the second answer of Tosfos, and now as I was reading the second answer of Tosfos, so I was thinking to myself, I don't understand our entire discussion now. Because what are we talking about? Hanging a basket on the side of a tree. Now, let's even say I climbed the tree. What kind of Issa am I violating? Not an Issa d'Oraisa. It's an Issa d'Rabbanan. So, why is the Gemara over here, if we're going like Rebbe? If our entire discussion is going like Rebbe, why is our entire... How do you even understand the entirety of the Gemara? Where the Gemara says, well, the basket's attached to the peg on a tree, but not the tree itself. Because had it been attached to a tree, you know that's wrong. It is wrong, by the way. Let's qualify. It is wrong, but what kind of wrong are we talking about? We're talking about an Issa d'Rabbanan. And we're talking about during the Ben Hashmashas period. So how do you even understand the entire discussion of the Gemara? Okay. So I'm in such wonderful company, right? I felt blessed. Because not only did this bother me, look at the Gilgal Neshos, look at Rabbi Kiva Eger, Tamua, right? He's on the side of the Gemara. Tamua. De'im kain afilu lo na'at yaseid nami de'shimash be'ilan havi rak shvus. I don't get it, says Rabbi Kiva Eger. So if we're talking about the position of Rabbi, so even if the basket were attached to the tree, that's an Issa d'Rabbanan. That's not an Issa d'Oraisa. So how do you understand that entire discussion? I encourage you, please, continue reading Rabbi Kiva Eger. He gives a brilliant solution, but I'm going to go ahead in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and the Gemara, but on your own, just, again, these are very basic concepts that we're going over about Shvus during the Ben Hashmashas period, and okay, but in the meantime, however, we're going to go on in the Mishnah, but I encourage you on your own, please continue in Rabbi Kiva Eger. Okay, and we're almost done, meaning we're starting now the new Mishnah, and I'm sure you've noticed, there are three blot left in the Masechta. So, And by the way, needless to say, we're finishing on Shabbos, right? That we're all familiar with. Tomorrow we'll talk about a schedule for Shabbos. But in the meantime, however, from here until the end of the Masechta, our discussion is going to revolve around feeding your animals. Why it comes up over here at the end of the Masechta, I don't know. Feels like it belongs somewhere back in the fifth parak of Shabbos when we talked about animals. Okay, but anyway, whatever the case is, now's the time. So what you could do is you can untie the hay to feed your animals, and you could spread it out as well. Now there are terms in the Mishnah which I don't know what they are, and you're going to see the Gemara is going to struggle as well. There is pikiya amir, there is kipin, but right now, just for simplicity's sake, let's say we're talking about straw. You can untie the straw, you can spread out the straw, avalois azirin, but you cannot do it to the zirin. Now, when I say it, what am I talking about? Untying, spreading it out. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss that. In Maraskan lo sashachas lo sacharuvin. When you're feeding your animal both shachas and charuvin boxer, right? That which they try to feed us on Tu B'Shvat, and the shachas. Again, I don't know what it is, but apparently it's some hard vegetation. So what you could do is you can grind it up, cut into really small pieces for the animal, if nebehema, beindaka, beingasa, whether the animal is big or small, doesn't matter. Rav Yehuda Mater, becharuvin ladaka. Sorry. According to the Tanakhama, ain meraskin. I'm sorry, that's an important point. You can't cut it up for the animal, whether it's a large animal or small animal, Rav Yehuda allows you to cut up the charuvin for the small animal. Rashi explains, small animals have very thin, delicate teeth, and they need the charuvin cut up for them. Now, here we get to a slightly complicated discussion because What we're now going to be trying to figure out is, what are these things in our Mishnah that we're talking about? Amir, Zirin, Kippin, what are all these things? And essentially, which I haven't even uttered a word about, is what's the issue over here? Meaning, you can untie, you can unbundle, you can spread it out, oh, but you can't do that with Zirin. Meaning, I said a Mishnah, but robotically. What are the issues? So, we're going to now discuss. Amr Rav Huna, so we're going to have basically two Mahalchim in our Mishnah. One by Rav Huna, the other by Rav Yehuda. Amr Rav Huna, Hain Pekin, Hain Kippin. So first of all, if you look back in our Mishnah, so the Pekin and the Kippin are the same thing. Pekin, Trey, Kippin, Tlas, it's just a question of how they're bundled. The Pekin is two straws bundled together, and Kippin are three straws that are bundled together. And Zirin, and then when you get to the third thing mentioned in our Mishnah, which is Zirin, that's Arzay. That's talking about cedar branches. Animals eating cedar branches? Let's say yes. Like, because I don't know any better. So the soft branches, maybe it's the leaves of the cedar branch. It doesn't matter. It obviously is important, but we're gonna somehow manage, even though I don't fully know what we're talking about. V'hachi kamar matir piki amar lefnei behema o mefasfasin v'huadin lekipin. And the point of the Mishnah is as follows: that when I have the straw, I can untie the straw. I can even spread it out. Avalois is zirin, but you can't do that with zirin. Lola fasters or lola hatu, you can't do any of that with the zirin, with the cedar branches. Now, Amar Rav Chista, my time at the Rav Huna. Now, can we get some sort of understanding why should that be? Kasar lemitrech beuchla tarchinan leshavuye uchla lo meshavinan. Here is the principle of Rav Huna. Now we get to a core issue. Rav Huna says like this. Look, you know, when you go to a restaurant, the quality of food is important. Presentation. Right, presentation is extraordinarily important. Right, they want to serve you the plate and make everything look nice. So I know we're talking about feeding your animals over here, but it's the same basic idea that when it comes to serving to presenting the food to your animal, so lemitrach beuchla tarchinan. If it's already food and all I'm doing is just making it more presentable for the animal, that's fine. That you could do. However, l'shivuye uchla lo mishavina. But what you can do is as follows. If right now in its current state it's unedible,
right,
and whatever you're going to do is going to make it edible, that you're not allowed to do.
Is that like nola or something?
Yeah, so what term to throw out over here? I've been thinking about that also. So maybe the term nola, maybe it's makah b'patish. In other words, but yeah, you're making a non-food into a food. Okay, so that you can't do. That is that's Rav Huna's understanding of our Mishnah. That's approach number one. And here comes approach number two. Rav Yehuda Amar Heinein Pekin Heinein Zirin. Now Rav Yehuda disagrees, first of all, with definitions. Pekin and Zirin, that's one and three in our Mishnah. They're the same thing. Pekin, Trey, Zirin, Tlasa. And it's just a question of how they're bundled. Pekin are bundled two at a time. Zirin are bundled three at a time. And Kippin, That's the second thing mentioned in our Mishnah. So the arze, that's the cedar branches. And good. Now that he disagrees with definitions. But the critical issue over here is he disagrees with the principle. V'hachi kamar, matir and pekiyan amir lefnei behema. If it's a question of untying, you can untie the pekiyan amir. The bundles of straws that are bundled in two. Ava pispuse lo. But after you untie it, you can't spread it out. The keep-in, pispuse nami misfasasin. Now, when it comes to keep-in, so there, you can untie it, you can also spread it out. Because the animal will not be able to eat it unless you spread it out. Avalo hazirin lefasfes elalahate. But when it comes to zirin, so the only thing that you can do is that you can untie it, but you can't spread it out. Now, amarava maitamid Rav Yehuda. Now, what's the rationale behind Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Huna, and he goes just the exact opposite way. Kasav shivuya uchla mishavinan, mitrach beuchla lo tarchinan. Look, if right now the animal cannot eat this food in its current state, and I have to untie it, or I have to spread it out so that the animal can eat it, that you do. You got to take care of your animal. So making food edible, that you can do. Presentation, any work to make the food better looking, more presentable, that you can't do. Okay? So it's interesting. He goes literally the other way. Tanan, and now what we're going to try to do is quote Mishnayos and Braisos and see which position fits in better with what we know in terms of the Tanayim. Second half of our Mishnah talks about finally chopping up the hard vegetation and the boxer. Now the Gemara makes an assumption. It's a wild assumption, and that is that the boxer of our Mishnah is soft. I've never chewed on soft boxer. And the funny part is every time I'm presented with boxer, I try it. Because, you know, maybe this time it will be different. Maybe it'll be soft this time. So, Alma Lotar. But again, assuming that the boxer that in question over here is soft boxer, so it's edible. And now Alma Lotar Chinam Ba'u. It's edible, and you can't chop it up. So that gives us the indication that it's an issue of presentation. And the Mishnah says no. The tiyufta de Rav Huna, and that obviously poses a difficulty to Rav Huna. I'm lechav Rav Huna, lo shachas domi de charuvin. So he says, no, you made the wrong assumption. You thought we were talking about soft boxer? Incorrect. Ma charuvin da kushe af shachas da kushe. We're talking about where it's hard boxer. It's hard boxer. Now I'm cutting it up so that he can eat it. Period. Hech mishkach ala be'ilei zutri. And the Gemara says that where do we find shachas being hard? So the Gemara says ilei zutri. Okay, like young donkeys have a problem eating and digesting the shachas. Okay, Tashma. Rav Yehuda matir b'charuvin ladaka. So now we go on in the Mishnah, and Rav Yehuda allows the chopping up of the charuvin for small animals. Ladakin lagasalov, meaning that clearly what he doesn't allow is for you to cut up the boxer for the large animal. Now, if the assumption is that the Tanakhama forbids presentation, any tircha to make the food more presentable, but he allows you to actually make it edible, so now you understand what Rav Yehuda is coming to say. Look, here's what I disagree with you on, that those small animals, they can't eat the charuvin until you chop it up. Therefore, chop it up for small animals. But if the Tanakhama allows you to make the food more presentable, Rav Yehuda, the matzah b'charuvin ladaka, Kol shekein lagasa. So if it's just a question of presentation, why should there be a difference between a small animal and a large animal? If you want to make it more presentable for the small animal, you're surely going to want to make it more presentable for the large animal. So mi svarz daka mamish, my daka gasa. The Gemara tries a pshat, a difficult pshat, but the Gemara tries a pshat. Well, you know what we mean when we say daka? We mean really it's a large animal. Oh, my karele daka, and why is a large animal called a daka? Well, the daika ba'uchla, because very discerning in its diet. Won't just eat anything, but actually is careful about what it eats. And that's why it's called a daka. The Gemara says that's a very difficult pshat, and the Gemara pretty much rejects such a pshat. So the Gemara says, no, because we already in the Tanakhama's position, he mentioned daka versus gasa. So when Rav Yehuda says daka, clearly he's talking about a small animal. And again, the point being then that you're allowed to cut it up for the small animal. Why? Because he can't eat it without you cutting up. And so therefore, it seems from our Mishnah very clearly that what you're allowed to do on Shabbos is make it edible. Presentation, that you can't do. But making it edible, that you can do. Tashma, we're going to do one more of these. Mechatzchin es hadlun lifnei behema v'esanavei lifnei klavim. We're going to see this in a Mishnah coming up. As we get to the end of the Masechta, you can cart up the gourd, pumpkin, in front of an animal, and nevela in front of dogs. Nevela, carcass of an animal. Animal died without a shechita. So, my love, deluin dumi de nevela, my nevela de rechicha of deluin de rechicha. And again, the Gemara's assumption is that the gourd in question over here is very soft. It's already edible. It's just a question now of presentation. And it sounds like you can work in order to make it more presentable, and that's obviously difficult for Rav Yehuda. Amlecha Rav Yehuda lo nevela de mi de dilu and ma dilu and de ashune af nevela de ashuna. The Gemara says, no, the gourd is very hard, and I'm cutting it up to make it edible. So, and the same thing is true with nevela. Now the Gemara says, really? Nevela is very hard? What are you talking about? Elephant meat. The Gemara says, elephant meat is very hard. Inami, bigiryasa zutra. Or, the consumers of the nevela are young dogs, otherwise known as puppies, where for them, you gotta cut it up in order for them to be able to eat it. Tashma, didni rav chanam in arda, mefarchinan tevan v'aspasta uma'arvin. Arvin, you're allowed to grind up, crush up straw and other and wheat, and you're allowed to mix it. Amatachin ba'uchla. So the Gemara says again, that sounds like a presentation issue. So the Gemara says no. Tevin b'tivna sarya aspasta be'ile zutre. And the Gemara says no. That it's right now, it's not fit in its current state. It's tivna sarya. I'm not even sure what that means. It's rotten, whatever the case is. It's not edible in its current state. And by me mashing it up, by me grinding it up, I'm now making it edible. So basically, just quickly to summarize, we have basically two different approaches amongst the Amorai. Rav Huna says that I can make food more presentable, but I can't turn inedible food into edible food on Shabbos nor on Yontif. Okay? And Rav Yehuda goes the other way. I can make food edible, but I can't work on making it any more presentable. Okay? The halacha seems to go like Rav Yehuda, the Gemara's conclusion.
Everyone, please go to your davening locations. Davening can begin now.
Oh, look at that. Okay, and so the, and that's the position of Rav Yehuda, that you can make food edible, but not more presentable. Okay, and we finished up our discussion about using animals and trees on Shabbos. Conclusion of the Gemara, very clear. Stadin is aser. Seed date starting would be mutter. Rabbi continued Rafu Shlema for Ben Yamin Zevakon Ben Sharon Rivka for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avi Gael. Rabbi Chanan Ben Akash Marasaka Zbrochel Zakasal Ficha Chir Ben Tomitz Shanemar Anai Chafetz Amantiko Yagdil Tarav Yadir.